driven by my buddy Mike. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. Emo brought his TV and wrote these beagle Fred.
I haven't heard this in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Fishing with us instead. We got lawn chairs, a poker table, an ice cold
kettle. I remember when you had the playpen and the chairs and the grand
dogs and dogs. People, yeah. That's about what it was like.
In a pontoon boat, fishing for Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's the perfect day for fishing, drinking beer, and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Oh, yeah, okay, Pooch. Okay, anyway, a little bit like heaven. Absolutely. Today is stormy day here in Charlotte Harbor.
Big day to be a frog.
Yeah, big old storm front coming across. I was just checking out some of the stuff earlier. I think most of it's probably going by now.
Yeah, it was a fast-moving storm. Last time I checked at 21 mile an hour, it was moving, so
yeah,
she should be through pretty quick. It was already starting to get lighter down on the south end of the harbor. And
yeah, I just looked at the radar, and we're right on the back edge of the front.
The boats were starting to move out from underneath the 41 bridge.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot left behind that, you know.
Well, the nice thing was there wasn't a whole lot of lightning in it, so.
No, a lot of rain. We had a lot of people going out this morning, and a lot of people fished over the weekend. It's been a busy weekend.
Busy weekend. We just come off the Rockin' and Reelin' tournament.
So what happened on the Rockin' and Reelin' tournament?
Well, we're getting consistently worse, but at least we're consistent.
I saw a picture of Dave and Barb, both with big black drums.
This is the third year for fishing that. And the problem that we run into is putting together the drum and the snapper. If we don't catch drum, we'll catch all of our snapper. If we catch the drum, we won't catch all of our snapper. And the snapper worth 10 points apiece, so you lose a lot of points not catching those 10 snapper.
Right.
Now, we came home with two nice big black drums, six snapper, our two trout. tried to get in. I'd been watching a school of Spanish mackerel inside the harbor that I knew nobody else knew about.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Spanish mackerel.
I knew Billy was going to run offshore for his Spanish mackerel.
Right.
So I wanted to get to these Spanish mackerel, and I found them. But the problem is a lot of other fish moved in with them. It was full of ladyfish. Anything on the surface was getting hit by the ladyfish. It didn't have time to get to the Spanish mackerel. And I decided, okay, well, we have small bait and we got big bait. So I told Barb, put on a big bait, put a big split shot on that, cast it out past, let it sink down underneath, see if we can get to those Spanish mackerel underneath. And it was black nose after black nose after black nose.
So you had ladyfish, then mackerel, and then sharks underneath all
that.
Oh,
yeah, and not to mention the tarpon and the jacks.
Wow.
We probably caught more fish during the tournament this year than we have any of the other tournaments, but it was all a bunch of
everything else
that we didn't want.
Now, how big were the jacks out there?
The jacks were normal sized, 5, 6, 7 pounds. They weren't
some
huge.
Nice jacks. A lot of fun. Yeah. Takes a lot of time to land one when you'd rather be.
They weren't big enough to
fish.
Be fun, and they were too small to use on the big schools of redfish. So it was more of a pain in the butt than anything else. The plan went in the toilet right off the start, like plans usually do. Plans are good up until first enemy contact. And we still had a couple hours of daylight left.
Right.
And the plan was to go down to Pirate Harbor.
Right.
I've been catching a lot of trout down there, a lot of snapper down there, and some flounder here and there. So the plan was to get down there. I was going to throw the 17 MR, put Dave with shrimp under a popping cork and Barb with shrimp on a jig head and try and get those three species of fish. At least get our two trout out of the way and maybe a snapper or two and then luck into a flounder. And we sat there and caught nothing but ladyfish and catfish. Now, I was just there the day before.
Right.
Catching trout. And they were gone.
Now, I will tell you an old tournament trick that I used to use back in the days when I was still goofy enough to fish tournaments. I like the rock and reeling tournament because it's more for fun and it's not a real hardcore tournament. It's a lot of fun. I would always go never the day before, because whenever I'd pre-fish the day before, those fish weren't there.
Right.
If I did it the day before that, you pre-fish, skip a day, and then fish, those fish were usually there. And it pretty much held true whether I was doing a bass tournament, a redfish, a snook. I don't know why it is, but if the tournament was Saturday, I pre-fished Thursday. And then when I went back Saturday, 90% chance those fish were there biting again.
Right.
But if I went Friday, it was 30% chance I was going to get those fish again.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it seems that every other day pattern holds up, at least for the tournaments. That's what I've... I don't know why it is. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
After that, we went back up to Bass Inlet, and... You know, we're going to sit there until we got our two drum.
Right.
Period. Dave popped about a 15-pounder right off the bat. And we got there at 9:30, slack tide. And he had the first drum in the boat at 10. And I think it was 2 when we finally caught the second one.
Wow.
And your body goes through some amazing changes when it realizes it's fishing a 24-hour tournament stuck on a boat.
All right, you're on the boat.
Starters is you have to pee every 15 minutes. Set your watch.
So it was you, your wife Barb.
Yep, and Dave and Coffee from Luigi's.
Luigi Dave, yes.
Yep.
So, yeah, that... I don't know why that is, but for some reason or other, everything kind of goes a little sideways. I did better on tournaments when I was fishing them every week and every other week and stuff.
Yeah.
And I did okay with it. But when you only fish like what we do, one or two a year, it just seems like tournament syndrome kicks in. Everything changes.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it really... you know what to do, you know where to go, you know what the plans are, everything should work.
And then it doesn't.
And it doesn't.
Yeah, and we went down first thing Saturday morning to Devilfish, loaded up on bait, and, I told Barb, throw some of this bait out the back of the boat. I do this all through the year.
Right.
Come here, get bait, watch everybody else leave, throw rods in the water, and start catching fish. And the problem we were having, we were catching big, big bait. Way too big for trout and Spanish mackerel and snapper.
Right.
And Jimmy Willis happened to be out there, and he yelled over. He says, "Hey, are you getting good bait? I keep seeing you making trips back to the live well." I said, "Yeah, I'm getting really good bait, and it's way too big for me. I need small bait." He said, "Well, I got a live well full of small bait." And he says, "Let's trade." Sure. Because he had a snook, redfish, and tarpon trip, so he was more than happy to take all the big bait. And he left me, the perfect little size stuff.
Right.
And we got our two trout there and one snapper. And then we went up through Boca Bayou, hitting the docks and the mangroves the whole way up. And
catch anything?
We caught 5 more snapper and...
anything legal out of it?
Yeah, all the snapper were beautiful out of there.
That's
really nice. Anywhere from 14 to... to 16-inch
really nice
snapper,
yeah.
Beautiful snapper in there. A couple little gag grouper.
Right.
It's that wham. That's not a snapper.
That wakes you up.
Yeah, because you're doing it with light tackle.
Yeah.
For the snapper, so you can flip those things up underneath the mangroves and the docks, and you don't expect a 15-16-inch gag grouper.
Yeah, and they're it's surprising, almost the same size fish, but so much bulkier.
Yeah,
a lot bigger body.
It's that little grouper. It feels like a redfish that's on the upper line.
So, anyway, so you're fishing Boca Bayou, and you've got there's some snapper out there, some gag grouper. Any snook off those docks?
We only fished the docks for a few minutes.
Right.
The docks weren't producing, so okay, let's try the mangroves. And the mangroves is what actually produced the snapper better than the docks.
All right.
Which was, I kind of found that weird.
Yeah, I would have thought, but maybe the water's changing a little bit out there. I just looked and
I got a feeling there's so much bigger stuff in those docks right now that the snapper don't want to be there.
Oh, that could very well be. There's a lot of big fish going around there. It's Gulf temp is 90 degrees in St. Pete, and it's 86 still in Pensacola.
Yeah, it's the water temperature's up there. It's almost 90 out there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the, you know, how that was going to correlate into, you know, some of our fishing. And it's just weird how everything revolves around, you know, we think, well, it's fishing and where you go, but a lot of it's, yeah, St. Pete, 89.8 degrees, Key West, 89.2. So, you know, less than a degree difference there. And then you get up Pensacola, it's down to 85.5.
Yeah.
So we dropped 20 degrees off of that Pensacola thing. We got a good shot at some king mackerel down here.
Yeah, definitely. But, and I think that's why the redfish up here in the harbor are doing so much better than they are down south now. The water's actually cooler up here. You know, it is darker, and it is taking the sun, and it is heating up faster throughout the afternoon. But if you can get out there in the morning, you know, fish up here for the redfish.
And we get days like today when we've had a lot of cloudy mornings.
Well, a lot of cloudy mornings and a lot of rain, a lot of fresh water coming down that Peace River. It is cooler, a little bit cooler.
The Peace River is over 14 feet in Arcadia. And at 14 feet, people start getting water up to their houses.
Yeah.
That's 12 foot, I think, is like normal flood stage, but 14 feet is actual flooding.
And it is.
It's been bouncing around 14 feet up in Arcadia.
It's relatively cool at night. Barb and Dave were shivering.
Really?
From the trip from Alligator Creek first thing in the morning down to Devilfish. They were cold.
Okay.
So you're getting that nice, cool evenings.
You spent the night, though, in the canals in PGI.
We attempted to.
You attempted to?
Yeah. Last year we stayed that big boat basin in the bird section.
Right.
We stayed in there last year, and it was perfect. And there was a lot more mosquitoes this year than there was last year.
Ooh, I hate that.
So
I
told them guys, you guys go ahead and sleep. I'm going to drive the boat elsewhere. And I idled from there all the way out through Poacher's Cut, Alligator Creek. And we got out on the bar on Alligator Creek and anchored up on the bar. And I don't like anchoring overnight in deep water because it leaves a lot of doors open. One boat learned. You know, they sunk in the middle of the night. They woke up to a boat full of water.
I heard about that.
Yeah, luckily they anchored up on the bar like we did. You know, they went to sleep. The bait fish died in the live well, clogged the overflow, and the live well filled up the boat. And the only thing that was keeping it up enough to where they could bail it out and get moving again was the fact that the engine hit bottom, and that held the boat up.
Yeah, see, I like deep water. I think deep water is safe water to me. I'm just the opposite. But, I mean, I don't mind anchoring back on the flats because, like you say, you can't sink when you're on the flats. But
I couldn't sleep out there.
Really?
There was all kinds of fish feeding out there from 3 o'clock in the morning until sunrise. And they weren't small.
Every time you start to doze off,
bang,
splash.
Yeah, and a lot of them were, and I was sitting, I had a cooler up against the rear deck, so I was laying on the rear deck right on the edge of the boat, and you know, your arm hangs off the side of the boat, and then something comes up and smashes bait and hits the side of the boat, you know, and it's probably the Loch Ness Monster coming to eat my arm off, so there's no sleeping. Yeah, exactly. It's constant. Stuff banging off the side of the boat.
If I could go back and do it, I would never have watched that movie in the 70s. And what's funny is I saw part of it now, and to think that I was actually scared of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I look at it and go, are you kidding me?
There was no sleeping that night.
Yeah.
But it was a fun tournament. The weigh-in was fun. Had two boats that came in late. One never made it back, period.
So. It
happened to be Rob Markle. You know, of course, his wife's running the tournament, so she's worried.
Right.
You know, and I texted
him. Well, they went offshore just to goof off.
Well, that's what they do. He was fishing inshore. They weren't catching anything, so they said, the heck with the tournament. Let's go offshore and catch some fish.
Yeah, he decided, I don't care. I'm just going to go out and have fun. That's one of the things that the CBCA or CBIABD or whatever the heck it is now. Actually, I have it right here.
CDBIA, Charlotte DeSoto Builders Something Association.
Yes, and that tournament was noted for that back a few decades ago when it was, you know, a little different. It was noted for the first day they had a lot of guys fishing.
Yeah.
And the second day, most of them were so hungover they couldn't
fish.
Yeah,
they should have just called it the Oh, Screw It Tournament.
I can remember being at the dock doing the weigh-ins and all the guys coming up the first day and they're all gung-ho. And then you see them out at the fire. We used to, where they used to have it, we had an open pit fire and everybody would come out there and it was a big party. And then, you know, you'd get down there in the morning, see the boats off, and you'd count who was sleeping in the grass.
Yeah, it's an overnight tournament is hard. It's tough.
It used to be just 2 days.
Right.
Now
right.
It's overnight.
And that's rough on you. It really is. And it's kind of, you know, what do? You're kind of limited at what you can catch at night. You know, you're probably not going to catch your trout at night. You're probably not going to catch your Spanish mackerel.
Unless you go
at night.
Fishing the lights.
Right.
You got to go in the canals and fish the lights.
There basically are no lights in the canals now. The water's so murky.
Yeah.
You can drive by a snook light and not see it. Because there's just
the water's
so
very
dark.
High and the water's very murky.
Yeah.
And I get guys who they're putting in snook lights and go, well, I can't see it and there's no fish on it. I can't see. Wait a month, you'll be all right.
Yeah. But it was a good tournament. So your plan is to try and get that drum at night. And and Dave says, well, if we get all of our fish or a good amount of our fish by dark, I'll get us a couple motel rooms here. Then we can just sleep and then get up in the morning and go. Don't worry, Dave. Your money's safe. We're not going to catch the majority of these fish by the time night falls, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one great thing about Dave. He's very optimistic. So
he is. He gets so wound up and so excited to go fishing that it's almost borderline annoying. Do we got everything? Do we have everything? Do we need anything? Good Lord. And Barb, she brings so much food with us that I went hungry because I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to eat. She brought that much food. I mean, we had sandwiches and cheese sticks and meat sticks and 3 different kinds of cookies and wheat thins and boiled eggs, and we had Doritos, and we had cucumbers.
Let's just leave it
the
same.
The list.
Yes. You know, and I'm just the opposite. Now, I've got this one thing I've got to order yet, a Kelly kettle or something like that. But I've got those MRE things.
Yeah,
and
that'll do.
That's just, get some water hot, throw it in there. Okay, good.
Yeah, it's fun. It is a really fun tournament. It benefits the ROTC and the Boys and Girls Club, so you can't go wrong there either.
Right. Yeah, I've got a lot of friends who ROTC has helped their kids do much better in school. So, anyway, why don't we put a period on this show? Anything else you want to talk about? And then we'll come back with another show and do more of a generalized fishing report.
No, it sounds like a plan.
Okay, so anything else you want to add about the Rock and Reeling tournament?
We're still doing it next year, so make sure you get into it for next year. Two divisions, inshore and offshore. It's not a redfish tournament. That's what I like about it. You're catching everything else but.
Well, what it's based for is more people want to go out, have a good time, catch a variety of fish, and just enjoy the whole experience. So.
Yeah.
To me, it is one of the better tournaments. It's not, there's not, okay, you're an eighth of an inch over or a 16th of an inch over, so we disqualified your fish.
Right.
They do it more. This is, go out, have a great time, and enjoy the tournament.
Yeah,
and have a good party afterwards, too.
The only problem we had at the weigh-in is we had the ROTC kids bring a wheelbarrow down to get your fish. And the one boat had all 10 of their snapper, and then while they were passing the fish up, out of his hand it went and into the water.
Really? They don't put them in a basket?
Well, you had to. No, we were reaching them up to the dock to the to the guys with the waste stuff.
I'll tell Melanie that.
And that and Greg weighing everything in kilograms.
Yeah.
Not pounds.
I get a call saying, Frank, your scale's broke. It's this. I can't even hold this black drum, and it's only 19 pounds. I got to bring it back and get the other scale. I said, look a little closer. Is that 19 pounds or 19 kilograms? Because 19 kilograms is about 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Mm, oh, yeah, okay. So I don't know how many fish he weighed in kilograms.
At least, well, it was three boats worth. Because we had a boat before us, and then Billy, and that's what he was having such a... And I didn't even look at my weigh-in sheet, because it only showed my right. black drum is 6 pounds. And I didn't even... Yeah, I just signed off on it because I saw Billy, so right. I knew I wasn't in the running, so...
So, all right. Well, anyway, so a good tournament. A lot of fun had by everybody.
Definitely,
and we'll fix that problem next year. I will actually buy them a half a dozen laundry baskets. You put the fish in one, you put the laundry basket on top.
But
you put the fish in the bottom one, and you set the second one inside of the first one.
So they don't go anywhere.
So they can't go anywhere. Yep. So... Anyway, Fishing Frank, Captain Kale in the chair across from me, and it's been another little radio fishing, just kind of a fun version. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with a more complete fishing report, so stay tuned.